Intel gets a new leader.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Thursday, the 2nd of May, and we'll start with some news from the tech world. Intel has announced that its chief operating officer, Brian Krzanich, will be its new CEO. He has been at Intel since 1982 and will replace Paul Otellini, who is retiring. Intel has been struggling to compete as chipmakers move from PCs to mobile phones and tablets, and investors were waiting to see if the new CEO would be an outsider or an insider. It appears to me that this is definitely an insider. He's been there since 1982, as I said. Well, Facebook, meanwhile, says it made $219 million in profit last quarter. But as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports, Facebook has been spending some money to make that money.
A year ago, you wouldn't see any ads if you logged on to Facebook on your phone. But now, Facebook says 30% of its ad revenue comes from ads on mobile devices. Michael Pachter is an analyst at Wedbush Securities. He says Facebook is keeping up with consumers' move from PCs to mobile devices, and mobile ads can be targeted. So if you're driving past a Starbucks, a coupon might pop up on your phone.
They can deliver a 50-cent off any latte, only good for the next hour kind of coupon if you happen to be out in your car at, between 7 and 10 in the morning.
But Facebook's revenues only grew 38% in the first quarter, while its costs were up 60%. Carl Howe is with the Yankee Group. He says Facebook is investing in lots of new projects.
We get a sense sometimes that they're just throwing products out the door and just seeing what sticks to the wall.
Howe says Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg has a soft spot for developers who do cool stuff. Unfortunately, that's not always profitable. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
President Obama heads to Mexico today to meet with that country's new president, Enrique Peña Nieto. They will talk immigration reform, but also economics. Mexico is the U.S.'s third largest trading partner. And for more on that, we're joined from Miami by Enrique Acevedo of Univision News. Good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here again. And let me first ask you, President Obama has said that a lot of the focus this time with the president of Mexico is going to be on economics. So what does he mean? What are they likely to talk about?
Well, as you know, Mexico's economy is in a pretty good shape right now. And President Peña Nieto is trying to seize this moment, putting forward an aggressive agenda for reform in sectors like education, telecommunications, which we've talked about, energy and finance, focusing on competitiveness, trade, which is basically the relationship between Mexico and the United States, and increased economic integration with the U.S. So we can expect the economy, as you say, to be front and center during President Obama's visit to Mexico.
And the other big thing that's always on the agenda between these two countries is security, the drug war that's going on, all the violence along the border. What do you think that they'll be talking about on that front?
Well, that's a very pertinent question because, as you know, economy would be front and center, but this, despite that narco-related violence, is still the number one issue in the perception of Mexicans, and I guess also most Americans when asked about their neighbor to the south.
Yeah.
So I guess the intention is to focus the U.S. and Mexico relation on those things, on the economy, on trade, but at a moment where insecurity and narco-related violence is still the number one issue, not only for Mexico, but for the rest of the region. We saw that last week during the World Economic Forum in Lima, in Peru. During the panels, the discussions, even in the back alleys, people were saying, this is our new external debt.
And explain what you mean by new external debt.
Well, as you know, during the 80s and 90s, external debt for most of the Latin American countries was a huge challenge in terms of bringing development and political stability to these economies. It was a constant or common denominator among different economies in the region. And now they're saying that insecurity and narco-related violence is the equivalent to the external debt in the 80s and part of the 90s.
How do you think the relationship will be different with President Obama and President Enrique Peña Nieto in Mexico?
Well, the relation between Mexico and the U.S. operates at an institutional level. Leaders in each country have relatively small influence on its general course. Nevertheless, we've seen examples in the past of how a good personal dynamic between two presidents can energize and even refocus the bilateral agenda.
Yeah.
So you have a second-term president in the U.S. with all kinds of challenges at home, meeting a freshman with 6 months in power trying to set the tone for the next 5.5 years. So, we don't really know how the relationship between these two leaders is going to develop and how it's going to impact the vast agenda between Mexico and the U.S.
Enrique Acevedo from Univision News, thank you so much as always.
Thank you.
enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
If you needed any more evidence that college sports are becoming big business, look no further than today's announcement from ESPN that it is creating a new network focused exclusively on the Southeastern Conference, or SEC. Marketplace's Queen Akim reports.
In the eyes of many, the SEC is the most powerful and traditional conference in college sports. Ken Shropshire is a sports attorney at Duane Morris LLP.
Especially when you think about football, where you have schools like Alabama and Auburn and LSU, schools that have been the national champions over the past several years.
He says not too long ago, college sports conferences and professional teams would simply sell the rights to games for a lump sum to TV networks. But the new frontier in sports is to start your own channel. The Yankees have one, and so do the Big Ten and Pac-12 conferences. The reason?
Well, money. Money and a greater war chest for the individual schools in terms of recruiting and otherwise.
In other words, they want to cut out the middlemen. John Orand is a media reporter for Sports Business Daily, and he says while the money can be good, it's not always easy.
This isn't a slam dunk in terms of the channel getting cable carriage.
Orand says Comcast and Time Warner didn't carry the Big Ten channel for years, but he says the SEC is probably too big for them to ignore. I'm Queen Akim for Marketplace.
And finally, we're asking a question on Facebook today. What is the most annoying office jargon? Answers so far include, I'm just spitballing here, let's take this discussion offline, and just to put this on your radar screen. So, listeners, let's circle back. What is your least favorite office jargon? Loop us in at the APM Marketplace Facebook page, unless, of course, you want to go in a different direction. Or maybe this is not in your wheelhouse. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.